This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. Today, I think I'm going to talk about, I have something which I think is going to be a really fascinating topic for everybody. And as you know, those of you who have been following my shows up until now, since not last Ramadan, the Ramadan before, I've been going through a long journey. And we've been talking about, I guess it's the journey of the self. It's the journey inside ourselves. And subhanAllah, how beautiful it is to travel through the earth and see Allah's beautiful signs, to see the amazing sunsets, the mountains, the rivers, the streams, the deserts, the forests, the seas. But you know what is just as fascinating and beautiful and awe-inspiring and confusing as well and puzzling and so many things is inside you, the inner being. And you know, Allah says that He will show us His signs on the furthest horizons and within ourselves until we know the truth. So this inner journey, this journey inside ourself, this journey inside our mind is also truly something that is both awe-inspiring, fascinating, the great complexity of the human being. It's just something that is, we can see we've been talking about it for over a year now. And we're just warming up. And as I say, sort of every single week, almost, I talk about this every week, every single week. Why is this so important? Why is this whole general subject something that is worth spending time on? Why is it worth us contemplating, reading, studying, thinking about? And if there was no other reason except that one of the most important things that we need to do is to try and purify our intentions, to try and make sure that we do things purely and sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that you, how will you ever really purify your intention if you do not understand what it is that motivates you? Why do you do what you do? Why do you think the way that you think? So when we can begin to uncover certain things about human beings, and there are certain tendencies that we have as human beings that can actually lead us to wrong conclusions. And this whole field, or this whole, you know, this whole aspect of the inner dimension, the inner being that I'm talking about, how we think in certain ways that can lead us to make wrong conclusions. They call it in psychology cognitive biases. And of all the cognitive biases that we have, perhaps the most well known is, and you often find it if you type in Google and you type in cognitive bias, you'll get articles and so on and so forth. You might come across some articles that I've used to base my talk on today. Very often, either at the top or in the list of the top 10 cognitive biases that we human beings have, you'll find confirmation bias is something that comes up again and again. And it's also very topical. The whole subject of confirmation bias is also very, very topical. And the reason is because of the increasing polarization of people's opinions in politics in the West. And particularly this has taken place in America, where people are beginning to see a type of polarization, a type of, you know, people going to sort of extremes on the political spectrum, to the extent that people are not even talking to each other, people are not even listening to each other, and the type of sort of lies and distortions and that are coming from one camp to the other camp, it's become really something quite scary for many people. Now, some of us may say, well, whatever, right? That's just America. Who cares? But it's actually something that is happening really all over the world. And one of the reasons that it is becoming more pronounced is due to the algorithms of social media. And we know this, that social media tends to push towards you information, stories, videos, and so on and so forth, even advertisements that suit your particular way of thinking. The problem with this is that this actually only compounds an existing problem that we have, and that is this confirmation bias. So we have this cognitive dissonance, we have this wrong way of thinking. It's not a wrong way of thinking, because actually we have to understand that all of these biases, they have their roots in something that is very useful and in a sense obvious for us as human beings, because they're shortcuts. Basically, cognitive biases are shortcuts because our brain uses a lot of energy. It takes up a huge amount of energy. And so our brain has, Allah has designed within our brains, or our brains have been formed with systems, with, you know, particular shortcuts in thinking that allow us to make decisions quickly without having to think too much about them, right? So, and the problem is, if we think too much about something, it causes, in a sense, paralysis in our decision making, and because of that, we could lose many opportunities that are going to help keep us alive. So our brain comes up with these shortcuts, and when you think about them, it's very easy to understand why we would have these shortcuts. However, they can sometimes be dangerous. And if we rely upon them too much and we're not aware of them, actually, it can cause a lot of problems. So I'm going to start now with a story. The story is about an imam who lives, who's the imam of a masjid on the edge of the desert. And he's sitting one day, in outside the masjid, and this man comes down and sits next to him, and they start drinking tea, some mint tea together. And this man is basically, he's an atheist. He doesn't believe in Allah. He doesn't believe in God. So the imam is a little bit shocked. And in the process of the conversation, he's trying to understand why don't you believe in God? And the man says, listen, I've given God a chance. I've it's not that I haven't tried. And because the imam is saying, do you make dua to Allah? Do you call upon Allah? Do you not seek his help in times of distress and in times of need? And the man said, yeah, I've given that a try. In fact, you know what? It only happened to me recently. I was in the desert and I was lost. I was lost in the desert. I was thirsty. My car had broken down. I didn't really know where I was. I was very, very thirsty. In fact, I realized that soon I was going to die. And then I started to call upon God. I started to say, Ya Allah, help me, save me. Save me from this situation. I was on the verge of collapse and I thought that was it. But nothing happened. And the imam is saying, but you're sitting here talking to me. What do you mean nothing happened? You're sitting here talking to me right now. Something must have happened. He said, no, it wasn't like that. He said, a group of Bedouins found me and they gave me something to drink, and they looked after me and they brought me back to their car and they found me back to the town, and that's how I got here. And of course the imam is perplexed. It's like, because the imam is, okay, what's the point of this story? The point of this story is that you see the world through your lenses, right? You have a particular lens. And those lenses and the color of that lens, which is your belief system, is what causes you to interpret events in a certain way. So you can see the two lenses quite clearly. You see, the guy who is an atheist, what really, and what does he think? What is he thinking? He's thinking that God, when he's praying to God, he's thinking that God is supposed to literally pick him up himself and take him himself to the car. So he's got this idea of God as maybe some sort of big hand that is going to come down and scoop him up and, you know, give him water, or water's going to pour from the sky onto his face, right? He doesn't think that God is sending him the Bedouins, or that the Bedouins, you know, have that Allah has guided them to him. He doesn't think like that. That he thinks that when he prays to God, he's expecting some incredible intervention and some sort of indisputable miracle. And for him, some Bedouins that just happened to find him is about to die, he doesn't look at that. He just think that he imagines that's human intervention. But for the Imam, he understands that, no, that is how God saved you. And of course, it's not very likely that a guy in the desert by himself is just going to be stumbled across by a couple of Bedouins. But the point being here is not, the point is not about whether this is some proof of the existence of God or not. The point is about confirmation bias. That's the point. The point is that if you have a set of beliefs, you will tend to interpret information that comes to you, which is really objective, objective information, objective events, objective facts, but you will interpret those facts according to your beliefs. And what confirmation bias tells us is that the more emotive the issue is, and the more we desire a particular outcome, right? So there's something we really want to happen. Maybe you want to get some money. Maybe you want to marry someone. Maybe we want to discover something, whatever. You know, there's some particular outcome that we want. We want to pass an exam, whatever it may be. Right. So what will happen is that in these particularly emotive times, or we have a particular outcome that we desire, then it's even more the case that our beliefs will be the lens through which we interpret what happens. Now, those beliefs could be positive beliefs, or they could be negative beliefs. If you have a real strong negative self-image, if you think really badly about the world and people around you, well, guess what? When things happen to you, you will tend to interpret everything negatively. You know, to the extent that people may be genuinely trying to do things for you out of the bottom of their heart, to be nice to you, to be good to you, but because of your belief system, because of your cognitive bias, because of your experiences, you interpret those things in a negative way. Maybe you think that that person is being manipulative. Maybe you think that person, is just lying, so on and so forth. So this is because these are part of a person's belief system. It's part of the way that they see the world. And so what do? Is that they interpret everything in a way that just seems to confirm, and they just say, oh, you see, I knew it. And so, yeah, this is it. So, for example, right, some of the things that we have to be careful of as Muslims, for example, if you are already a person who is inclined to some superstitious beliefs, like maybe you believe in astrology, or maybe you have some belief in, you know, palm readings or some type of fortune telling, that is all considered a type of disbelief in Islam. What you will tend to do is you will tend to interpret information that you receive in that regard in a way that confirms your belief. So you will forget the 100 times the particular fortune teller or the star signs were completely wrong. Or you will forget the things that happened in your day that had absolutely nothing, like maybe 90% of your day did not match anything to do with the star. You will just remember the bits that did. You will just, exaggerate the bits that confirm your existing beliefs. Now, of course, this is just you interpreting reality in a wrong way, and I'm sure you can understand you know, why that can be really, really, you know, really, really dangerous. Now, on top of that, it gets worse because then we tend to listen to information. So this is the other thing. We tend to listen to information. We tend to sort of seek out the information that confirms our pre-existing beliefs, right? Now, when this comes to issues within our collective, within the collective ummah, within the realm of maybe it is du'at or scholarship or your community and so on and so forth. I mean, we know it's not something hidden that amongst the Muslims, there are many different beliefs, many different practices, many different ideas, many different aqidahs, many different interpretations, different madhabs, different schools of thought. Even within the different madhahib, there are different opinions and so on and so forth. So this is something that is not hidden. And even between, we have different sects within Islam, and then we have various other sects that are considered not to be within Islam. But anyway, my point is not to go into that in depth. My point is that when it comes to this whole realm of, again, we are supposed to be truth seekers. That is something we've discussed that in a previous talk. In fact, the very first talk that I gave in this new series was about what, if you remember? It wasn't last week, it was the week before. It was about lying. It was about being truthful. It was about the quality of truthfulness and the importance of being truthful and the importance of being truthful and honest to yourself. And that's what we are. We are people who are truthful. We try to be truthful. We try not to lie. And above all, we must be honest and truthful with ourselves. We are always seeking the truth. But the problem is, if you don't have a good discipline, if you don't understand how to think, if you don't understand how to process information effectively, if you don't know the correct way of sorting out what is good information from what is bad information, what is a good way to find the truth of a matter and what is the bad way to find the truth of the matter, you're not really ever going to be able to reach the right conclusion. I mean, you might just by coincidence, but you're not going to do it by the force of thinking in the correct way, right? And this is the problem. This is the problem, is that very often there are people who, you know, they're very quick to offer their opinions, but it's very obvious very quickly that they don't understand how to filter information effectively. So it's very interesting. I'm on a number of particular groups, and so one of the discussions recently, it has been a lot, was about various aspects of, you know, like the ongoing pandemic and various treatments, vaccinate or not to vaccinate, to take this particular drug or not to take this particular drug. And, you know, there's a very, again, interestingly, as we're talking about confirmation bias, it's so interesting to see exactly this play out. And I see it playing out within myself. I mean, I have biases. And I'll be honest, I find it sometimes really hard and challenging to read and sift through information that contradicts the sort of inclinations and ideas that I have at the time. And I begin to feel that those opposing ideas and the people who are espousing them, you know, they're only doing that because they're, you know, they're from this or that or this way of thinking. I'm saying all of this, by the way, without giving you a clue where my thoughts are in this whole situation at the moment, because it's not important. It's not important. You need to sift through the information yourself. But one of the things you need to do when you are sifting through information is you have to be aware of this. Whether it is you studying your deen, whether it is you studying your religion, Whether you are reading the Quran or trying to come to the bottom of a particular issue within Islam, or whether it's a political issue, whether it's a scientific issue, right? Whatever issue it is, whether it's issue amongst your family, you must be very, very aware of this issue of confirmation bias. Am I reaching these conclusions? Am I only listening to things that confirm my prejudices already? If you think your family's the best, or your tribe is the best, or your nation is the best, well, guess what? Guess what? You are only going to be listening to information that confirms that. You are not going to be listening to stuff that is telling you, no, wait a minute, your country's a mess. Your family's full of, you know, liars and cheats and whatever, right? You're not going to look at it. You're not going to allow yourself to accept that information. Oh, and guess what? It's the same about yourself. If you have a big ego, if you're so full of yourself, if you think you're so good, and by the way, it's actually very interesting that many of these different types of cognitive dissonance, or these different types, or these different ways in which we process information and come to wrong conclusions, they are very interconnected. They're very interconnected, and it's really fascinating. I'd almost sort of thought it would be really interesting to make a sort of root system to see how this one is connected to that. Because as I've been studying them, I realized that, wait a minute, confirmation bias seems to be very, very strongly connected to other types of biases as well. And they certainly have the potential to reinforce each other. You know, so for example, what did we talk about last week? Last week we talked about how, you know, we tend to follow the crowd, and how we tend to follow and look at what everybody else is doing, and seeing what everybody else is doing, and then think, yeah, that's what we should do. And we talked about that from different levels. But I think you can understand quickly as well how you could link that easily to confirmation bias as well. The two things, they do have a connection. They certainly have a potential connection, and they have a potential of, you know, reinforcing one another. So let me go back to what I was saying, right? So we were talking about, you don't tend to, when it comes to looking at yourself, if you have a big ego, if you think a lot of yourself, then guess what? You know, you're going to just process information that keeps building your ego and keeps building this false self-image that you have of yourself, right? There's another thing. I've talked about this previously. I talked about this years ago in the willpower courses that I did. And you can see it on my YouTube channel. If you go to my YouTube channel, you can see a talk I did about the Dunning-Kruger effect. This is another type of cognitive bias. You know, that's when you're so ignorant, you don't even know you're ignorant. You're so ignorant, you find a little piece of information and it gives you an enormous amount of confidence, right? This is another type of cognitive bias. Combine that with confirmation bias, right? There's another type. There are other types of biases as well. And so all of these things, when it comes to your ego, when it comes to yourself, when it comes to you making a self-assessment of yourself, is quite difficult. It's really challenging. No wonder the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called it this jihad, or this struggle against your nafs or your ego, is the greatest. It's the most difficult struggle, is the struggle against yourself for the sake of Allah, right? For the sake of Allah. It is really, really difficult, because we come across these type of things, right? We just like to build upon our existing beliefs, okay? So that's the first thing. We pay attention, you know, only to things that confirm our beliefs and issues that we, you know, and you can see so many issues. Climate change, right? There's another thing, right? I mean, when it comes to these things, there's another type of bias. The other type of bias is that, guess what? If your livelihood depends upon something, how easy is it going to be for you to be able to process information that contradicts the thing that is your livelihood is based upon. Because that's another thing, you know, we human beings, we're always trying to find self-justification. We like to be consistent with ourselves, right? We want our action to be consistent with our belief. We all hate hypocrisy. We all hate nifaq. We hate it. Generally, human beings really, really, and I mentioned this previously in another talk, human beings hate hypocrisy. They hate it when someone says something and does something else, right? And that's true of ourselves as well. Generally, we want to be consistent with our beliefs. If we hold certain beliefs, we want to feel that, you know, we don't just hold those beliefs, that we are consistent with them, that we actually do the things that we believe in as well. Very important for us, okay? But of course, if your livelihood, for example, let's just say you work in the oil industry, how easy is it going to be for you to accept the possibility of climate change? How open are you going to be to looking at the facts? How open are you going to be to looking at the data? Certainly we know. We know it's not even hidden anymore that the big major oil companies, they actually had scientists doing research on man-made climate change, on global warming, on the greenhouse effect. And back in the 1970s, they actually concluded and they predicted pretty much what is happening right now. They knew it all those years ago. They knew it. But what did they do? The information was there. They just kept on. In fact, they didn't just keep on. They pushed their agenda of selling oil more and more and more, despite knowing exactly what it was going to do. The information was there. But that's the thing. And obviously, from, you know, a basic primitive survival point of view, the drive to survive, the drive for a livelihood, the drive to enrich yourself, the drive to increase your wealth is very, very strong. Allah mentioned in the Quran, you know, that إِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ. Certainly in the love of good, the love of wealth, we are violent. Beautified, Allah has made us the, you know, the well-tilled land and the crops and the cattle and the homes and the businesses and our families. And these have been beautified in our hearts, in our minds. This is the reality. So when something comes along that tells us, oh no, this is not good. It's not good for you. It's not good for the planet. It's not good for whatever. It's very hard for us to process that information. Because what does it mean? It means we have to change. And it means we have to change radically. And that, by the way, is also something very, very difficult to do. So this is another type of bias that we have in our thinking. You can see how easy it is for us to get stuff wrong. Right? Imagine you're a Hanbali. Yeah, hardcore Hanbali, yeah, or you're a hardcore Salafi, or you're hardcore, Hanafi or Shafi or whatever, it doesn't matter, you know, I'm just making the point. And, you know, you have this firm attachment to your madhab, yet you become absolutely convinced that a particular position or particular thing that your madhab is upon is not right. You just begin to realize you can't see how this can be reconciled with what Allah says or with what the Prophet said, or, you know, I'm not trying to oversimplify it. I'm just using it as an example, right? That you can't reconcile. How easy is it going to be for you, or how hard is it going to be for you to go against your teachers, your colleagues, your friends, everybody around you, to stand up and follow what you think is the truth? Very hard. Even if you can allow yourself to get to that position. And, you know, we can see in our history that this rivalry between the different schools of thought has sometimes, you know, of course, I'm saying sometimes, it's not like the norm, but sometimes it's reached really, you know, extremes where, you know, one one madhab is saying you can't marry people from another madhab. Or if you do, it's like you're marrying Ahlul Kitab. Astaghfirullah. This type of stuff. Allahu Akbar. This is like Sunni Muslims saying this about each other. Right? So when you have those type of extremes, guess what? Right? That's what you have, confirmation bias. You're only looking for the stuff that is going to confirm your already, you know, your preconceived prejudices. And this is just not conducive to finding truth. It's not conducive to finding truth, right? And then so obviously, what do? You find sources that support your beliefs. You find sources that support your views. You only look for those opinions that support the opinions that you have. So sure enough, if you're a Shia, guess what you're going to do? You're going to keep on looking and listening to those videos and those talks and those things that support your way of thinking, right? If you're a Khariji, Takfiri, Jihadi, you know, guess what? Guess what you'll do? Almost without doubt, you will just limit yourself more and more to listening to, you know, those things that support your point of view, right? This is just generally what people do. It's dangerous. It's not a way to help you find the truth. And, you know, obviously it goes to the extreme of even refusing to listen to what other people have to say. Refusing to even listen to what other people have to say. But, you know, subhanAllah, brothers and sisters, honestly, the truth can be found in the most strange places. Truth can be found in the most strange places. And I guess the main problem is you don't anymore look at facts in a logical and rational manner. Your whole way of looking at the world, of looking at objective realities, becomes distorted by your beliefs. And I mean this, you know, in a negative way. Of course, I don't mean this from the point of view of iman or having faith in Allah. I don't mean this at all. Quite the opposite, in fact. Because I've thought about this quite deeply. And you know, the more I think about it, although that could be my cognitive bias, right? But I try to think about it a bit objectively. One of the things that I found, subhanAllah, really amazing is that you see within Islam, within the process of a person who is struggling towards Allah, it's almost the opposite. It's almost that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is constantly testing you and breaking down your biases in order for you to be able to see truth and the path to truth more and more clearly. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah. So let's see, right? Why does this happen? Why do we do that, right? Okay, so like I said right at the beginning, one of the things that all of these type of cognitive biases, these ways of thinking, yeah, these shortcuts that we have, is they save energy, right? That's what they do. They save energy. And obviously, listening to every single detail, going into every single, I mean, to be honest, I don't have the energy for a lot of it anymore. I used to have a lot more energy. I don't. I've got other things to get on with. I just don't have the energy to read every opinion, to look into every variable, to look into. I mean, my way of dealing it is, you know, I just try to have a good opinion of everybody, and hope that everyone is doing the best, and make dua for everyone, and you know, like, so I deal with that from the perspective of not allowing it to be super negative in terms of my relationship with other people. And that even is in respect to non-Muslims. One of the things I came to realize is that it's Allah guides who He wants to guide. You can give someone every argument. You can try and persuade them with every single argument that you have, every single fact that you think you can present to them. But you know what? Each person has their own way. You realize they have their own way of thinking. And there's nothing that you can do to change it. The only one who can change it is themselves, or in reality, the only one that can really change it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Okay, So, I mean, the best that you can do is you can just try and present the information in the best way that you can. And you don't allow yourself to get too frustrated about, you know, the way people are, because that's the way they are. So it helps you psychologically. It helps your interaction with others. It helps you to be more understanding with others. I mean, I think that's another thing. Once you realize that human beings in general, including you, all of us, we have confirmation bias. That's just, it's just the way we are. But it also then allows you to chill a little bit when it comes to understanding why people are the way they are, right? It's not necessarily even that people are willfully and purposefully obstinate. It may not be that. It may just be that that's just the way they see the world. And it also is interesting that in order to get people to understand things differently, it's not always about presenting facts to them, right? Because what happens, you present the fact, and guess what happens? Let's go back to the story, right, that I told you about, the imam and the guy and the atheist, right? So whatever facts you present to somebody, what do you think is going to happen? They're just going to keep interpreting it through their belief system. And that is why you have to go back to those fundamental ideas that they have. If you want to challenge someone, maybe the way to do it is not just by throwing all these facts, right? Oh, Muslims are not terrorists because blah, 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 right? You know, we don't eat pork because of this and that and this and that. And, you know, we Muslims, we're not as bad as you think because of, you know, whatever it may be. I don't know, whatever subject topic, I'm just thinking from a dawah perspective. But that's not really effective because people are going to keep interpreting that through their pre-existing beliefs. What you need to do is go back and challenge those very, very foundational beliefs. That's what you need to do. Of course, that's very, very painful, right? And maybe this is why, another reason why we have confirmation bias. It's actually a protection mechanism because often we invest a huge amount of energy, either willingly, we do it on purpose, right? Or it's been maybe imposed upon us. And that's another possibility, is that we have these beliefs, not because we've thought about them and come to those conclusions ourselves. Maybe we've literally been forced to have those beliefs, or at least we've been encouraged to have those beliefs. But sometimes, and that also takes a lot of energy from us, by the way. That also has taken a huge amount of energy. So the problem is that when you are confronted with something that is going to make you face the possibility of you having to change your belief about something, that is really scary. Don't underestimate how flipping terrifying that is to somebody. Because it's like, wait a minute, all of that, everything I've invested, all that time and energy I put into that, and I'm just going to have to accept that it was like mostly rubbish. And for what? You know, that's it. You can see how that is really, really difficult. From another perspective, you can see why we have confirmation bias, right? Because whether you're a family or a society, or, you know, you build these belief systems because societies and families tend to be built around certain belief systems. And those belief systems, hopefully they are there in order to help regulate people's lives in some sort of positive way, right? So they generally have some type of use. One would hope, maybe not, but, you know, generally they may do, or they, that's the idea of them. So again, you know, like having to think about every single detail is difficult, is challenging. It takes a lot of energy. And this is a shortcut that our mind takes. We just accept these things, we take them on board. It just helps us to live with other human beings and get on with them. because we share similar beliefs and we share similar practices. And when we share similar beliefs and practices, we are able to cooperate with each other and work together better generally, right? So we can understand why our brains would do that. It's just something normal, right? In the same way that we discussed last week about why it makes sense to just look at what other people are doing and follow them. It does sort of make sense a lot of the time, but not always. The same with confirmation bias. You can see why it sort of makes sense, but not always. I think confirmation bias, perhaps in this day and age, is one of the things that we have to be super, super, super aware of. And as Muslims, we have to be super, super aware of, both for us, because we are truth seekers, and also in terms of our, you know, understanding other human beings, because part of being a Muslim, a huge part of our deen, is giving da'wah, is inviting people to Islam, right? So just to conclude, brothers and sisters, people can take two sides on an issue. They can listen to the same story and walk away with different interpretations that they feel validates their existing point of view. This is often indicative that the confirmation bias is working to bias their opinions. The problem with this is that it can lead to poor choices and an inability to listen to opposing views or even contribute to othering people who have different opinions. It's exactly what we see. Really, brothers and sisters, if you see it, you can see, read the Quran, and you see this is exactly what is happening to the prophets, the messengers. The messengers and prophets, they're coming to their people with real facts, objectives. The Quran is full of these objective facts. Look at this, look at that, think about this, think about that. But the consistent response of the messengers, the consistent response to the messengers from their people is one of rejection. Is one of rejection. And often what you will see in the Quran is that they are really just, you know, they're just really making plain their confirmation bias. Oh, this is the way of our ancestors. Are you saying our ancestors are wrong? This is the way that we are upon. This is what we do. Are you saying we are wrong? Are you saying our ancestors are wrong? Are you saying something different? I mean, that's it. That's just almost enough. How dare you challenge what we are doing? How dare you challenge our beliefs? How dare you challenge our practices? Why? What's wrong with that? Well, it's just because they are our beliefs and our practices. There is no other reason. That's the only justification given. That is not a way to find truth, brothers and sisters. Not for you, not for me, not for anybody. Okay. So brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah, we as Muslims, we believe, and I go back to, I mentioned this, that Allah says he will show them his signs within themselves and on the furthest horizons until they know that this is the truth. And so that's what we believe. You know, the world is a book of signs. The Quran is a book of signs, but also the world in which we live is full of signs. These objective facts, these objective realities that are there in front of us, in front of our eyes, they are all signs that should lead a clear thinking person to know that there is nothing truly of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, is his messenger. Anyway, brothers and sisters, I hope you found this interesting. I hope that there are some lessons for myself and for yourself in today's reminder. And until next week, may Allah's peace and blessings and be upon you. May he protect you, may he guide you, may he put you and all of us upon the path of truth. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Don't forget to share this if you enjoyed it and you found it beneficial. Don't forget to subscribe on my YouTube channel. Yes, Abdurrahim Green's YouTube channel, my actual one myself. Don't forget also to subscribe to Stream Islam. MashaAllah, so many good speakers on this platform. Alhamdulillah, and growing more and more. And until next time, brothers and sisters, if Allah gives us life, may Allah keep you safe. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.